to address that issue. But that's an issue of faith. That's an issue of belief. We've got to point out to the world that it is lost and dying in sin, and that sin is a real problem. The Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Well, how do we know what sin is and how do we understand it? Well, one good way is to go back to the Old Testament and read all of those thou shalt's and thou shalt not's, especially in the areas of moral understanding. Because listen to what Romans chapter 3 and verse 20 says. It says, by the law is the knowledge of sin. So if you want to know what sin is, if you want to know what sin, what is sinful, then just go back and read the Old Covenant and see what happened there. See what kind of lives people lived and see the problems they got into and see the sins that they committed. Sin today, sin back then is still sin today as far as morality goes. That hasn't changed. Now there's some things that they did that we don't do anymore, but rebellion against God is still a sin in the same sense that today that it was back then. And so when we think about the problem of sin, we've got to have a place that we can go to define sin. And the law defines sin for us. It really helps us to understand what it is. But of course, the law isn't enough. The law was there to show us that sin is exceeding sinful. That is, it's really, really bad, and you don't want to be involved with it. But the law can't save, and that's why we need Jesus. Jesus comes to save us from our sins. So one cannot repent of sin until he actually believes that he has committed sin and that he is living in a condition of sin. And that situation is something that people need to be convinced about. They need to understand that they have sin in their life and that they've committed sin and that these sins are offensive to God, and that God wants them to repent of those things. But if a person doesn't believe, he's simply not going to repent. But we've got to hear the word of God to believe, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So before a person can repent, we've got to address the sin issue, and we've got to address the belief issue. The belief issue even before the sin issue. Listen to Hebrews chapter 3 and verses 16 through 19. And the Hebrew writer here is giving us the example of the children of Israel who wandered in the wilderness, you know, and ended up sinning against God. And because of that, they fell in the wilderness and they died in the wilderness because of their rebellion against God. Listen to Hebrews 3, 16 through 19. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. In other words, some people heard God's word, and it pricked their hearts, and they did something about it. But not everyone. Not everyone did that. Now, listen to what he says next. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom swear he that he should not enter into his rest, but to them that, watch it, believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of disbelief. Some translations say because of disobedience there, which is really the same thing as disbelief. Because if you don't obey, you're demonstrating that you don't really believe. But notice the relationship of belief and sin in this passage. There are those who had sinned. He was grieved 40 years with those who had sinned. And they sinned. Why? Because they did not believe. So we need to believe. And we need to understand that we have sinned. And that should prompt us to repent of our sins within our life. In recording inspired comments on the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness, in Psalm 106 in verses 24 through 26, the psalmist writes this. He says, yes, They despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word, but murmured in their tents, and did not listen unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore, he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness. Now listen to what it says. They did not believe his word. They murmured, did not listen to the voice of the Lord, and therefore they were overthrown. Now that really encapsulates and sums up what a lot of people's problem is. They don't want to hear God's word. They don't want to listen to what the Lord has to say. They certainly don't want to believe it. And because of that, they remain in their sins and have an impenitent attitude. And when you try to go to someone to talk to them about that, they're just going to throw it back in your face because they really don't want to change. They really don't want to repent. They like things the way they are, and they think they know best how to manage their own life. Now, a lot of times, people in those circumstances can get along pretty good for a while, but then after a while, things are probably going to fall apart for them if they continue to go in the path that they're going in. But let's suppose for a moment that someone says, you know, I really do believe God's word. I really do believe in God. I really do believe in God's word. And God tells me that I have sinned, and I want to know what repentance is. And now what can I do to repent? And what does that mean? Because some people don't understand that. And that's why we're having this lesson tonight. So let's think about what it means to repent. Well, repentance basically means this: a change of mind that results in a reformation of life. A change of mind that results in a reformation of life. Now, the Greek word repentance literally means to change your mind. And not in the sort of whimsical way that we talk about changing our mind today. You know, we'll say, I'm going to go to the store. And then somebody say, why didn't you go to the store? And say, oh, I changed my mind. That's not what repentance is, okay? Although it is in a sense, but it's not really what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about a permanent change of mind. We're talking about a permanent state of affairs where we have decided to change and we're going to make that change because we know it's the right thing to do and that we're really going to follow up on it. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about repentance. To change the mind means several things. First of all, it means that we have to change our thoughts, okay? Because our thoughts come from our mind. And we're not going to change our mind unless our thoughts are changed. And so that's really the first thing that needs to happen. Our thoughts need to change. Now, listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 3 through 6. This is a scripture we talked about a little bit this morning, but I want to flesh it out a little bit more for you. Paul says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity," listen to this, "bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." So Paul is talking about spiritual warfare here, and the spiritual warfare that goes on inside each one of us. And this is something that we deal with on a daily basis. But he's not talking about carnal warfare, and he makes that clear, but spiritual warfare. What is spiritual warfare involve? Notice number one, casting down imaginations. What does he mean by imaginations? Well, imaginations come from the mind. They come from a creative process. They come from the idea that, you know, we know better than others. And these kind of proud thoughts that we have. And as a result of that, those things can take over our minds. and lead us in a way that isn't right. So we need to cast down those imaginations. We need to subject our thoughts to the Word of God and to the will of God. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Again, sometimes we have this thought within our life that we know better than God knows on how to deal with situations within our life. We try to manage it. We try to control it. We try to manipulate it. But the bottom line is, we just need to trust in God for Him to work it out for us. Because sometimes, a lot of times, most of the time, maybe all the time, we just don't know what we're doing. But God does, and He can manage all of that, and He can handle it. And so we need to bring down those high things that are exalted against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Our thoughts, sometimes, they can run out of control. We can start thinking about things that we ought not to think about. Those thoughts need to be brought into control. We need to rein those thoughts in. We need to bring them back under captivity of our spirit, which has control of this body. And we need to let the spiritual control us, not the physical. And so the thoughts. So our imaginations, our pridefulness, our attitudes, our thoughts, all of those things need to be brought under control in order for us to repent. So you see, we can't just live our lives according to our feelings and according to our desires without any kind of gate on those feelings and those desires. We've got to put a... Repentance means we've got to put a stop on things. You know, it's a picture of the floodgates being open, so to speak, before repentance. The floodgates are open, and all the water's just spilling out and gushing out and rushing out. And those are our feelings, those are our emotions, those are our desires, and we're just letting them go, and they're just doing whatever they want, and we just go with the flow, so to speak. And the first step in repentance is, wait a minute here. I've got to turn these floodgates off. I've got to stop allowing my emotions and my evil desires and my evil thoughts. I've got to stop letting those things run out of control. I've got to put a hold on them. I've got to shut them down. And that's the first step. And that means we've got to pay a little attention to ourselves and really think about what we're thinking about. Did you know you can do that? We have and sometimes that's called the principle of recursiveness or recursivity. That's the idea that you can actually think about your own thoughts, okay? And do self-examination, self-analysis. That's what self-examination is. Thinking about your own thoughts. Asking yourself, now why did I have that thought? Why did I just think about that? Should I be thinking about that? Maybe I shouldn't be thinking about that. And we can even think about the thoughts that we have about our thoughts. Okay? Maybe that's going a little too far. But anyway, I thought you might think that was funny, but I guess not. All right. I think it's funny. But that's just me. I'm kind of weird. all right. So repentance means we've really got to focus. We've really got to think about our own life and about our own thoughts. And we've got to change our thinking from a complete state of lawlessness in thinking to captivity. Like Paul says here, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We've got to bring our thinking out of the negative and into the positive. All right? Now think about what Philippians 4:8 says. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So these are all good things that God wants us to think about. And to repent, we've got to... The positive side of this, now we just talked about sort of the negative side of this in the sense that we've got to stop thinking these evil thoughts. And then the positive side of this is this. We've got to start thinking good things. You ever find yourself looking at somebody else and saying something like, boy, I wish that was me. You know, having a little envious thought or something like that. There's kind of an old, I don't know if the younger people will understand this, but maybe the older people who are involved with the Cold War and understand the Russians a little bit will kind of appreciate this. But there's an old joke that's about envy. And, you know, there was an English woman who had a problem with envy, and a magic genie appeared, and the genie said, you can have anything you want. And he said, you see that woman over there across the way with that fancy house and that fine yard and all of those things? And the genie said, yeah. She said, I want a house just like that and a yard just like that, except I want 3 more bedrooms and 2 more bathrooms in it. Genie said, okay, fine, boom. All right. Then there was a French woman who said, the genie appeared to, said, give me a wish, you can have anything you want. You can have any wish you want. And the woman said, oh, you see that woman's beauty over there, and you see her good looks and all of the things that she has. And the genie said, yeah. And she said, well, give me everything that she has, except, you know, in addition to that, I want an additional 5 more dresses and this, that, and the other. And Jeannie said, okay, no problem. And then there was a Russian man. And the genie appeared to him and said, you know, you can have any wish you want. And the Russian looked at his neighbor and said, that neighbor over there has a cow that gives 10 buckets of milk a day and produces 2 calves every spring. And the genie said, yeah, okay. And he said, what do you want? And the Russian said, I want that cow dead. You know, that's envy, all right? That's envy at its most potent desire. You know, don't want what he has, just don't want him to have it. Wow. So, well, that's kind of a joke that you can understand if you're a little familiar with the Cold War. But anyway, but repentance says, I've got to get out of that thinking completely. I've got to put that kind of thinking away, and I've got to start thinking good things. In other words, when I look at that person's house, what a great house that is. What a wonderful house. What a wonderful property you have. I've got to start thinking positive things about that. You see, not desiring it, not envying it, being happy for that other person. When you see that person with the beautiful dress or the beautiful suit or whatever, what a great dress, what a great suit. You look so wonderful today. You've really got to think like that. You've really got to start putting your thoughts like that. When you see the person with the cow, you know, that does all those wonderful, what a wonderful cow. It's great that you have that cow. I'm so happy for you. I'm so proud for you. That's the positive thinking that we need to have within our life, okay? And that's how we have to change our thoughts out of negative thinking and into positive thinking. That's what it means to repent, to change our mind. And out of the fleshly thinking or the carnal thinking and into spiritual thinking. Galatians 5 and verses 24 and 25 says this. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. They've crucified it. They've put it away. And then he says this. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And what does that mean? It means we're going to give our mind to God. We're going to give our thoughts to Christ. We're going to allow the Spirit to control our being and not give in to these fleshly desires and temptations that we have to the sin that's in our life. So, to change the mind, we have to change the thought. So repentance requires a change of mind and attitude, and that means that we've got to change our thoughts, first of all. Well, we're going to stop there for tonight, and we're going to come back and look at repentance more in a couple of weeks, maybe, and talk about next week. Oh, wait, next week is 5th Sunday. The week after that, we're going to have questions and answers on the first Sunday. But we will talk about repentance more. But not only do we have to change our thoughts, we've got to change our attitude, we've got to change our heart. And we'll talk about that next time. And then we'll talk about the changes in lifestyle that we need to make in order to produce repentance within our life. Perhaps someone here has heard part of this message tonight and decided that they do need to repent. They do need to make some changes in their life. And you want to do that tonight, and that would be great. We'd be happy to talk with you. We have an opportunity before us at this point in our service that if you need the prayers of the church, or if you'd like to make a confession of fault, or if there's something you would like to do to help your life, to improve your life, now is an opportunity to come and talk about that. If you need to become a child of God, hear the word, believe it, repent of your sins, confess Jesus as Christ, and be baptized for the remission of sins, you can become a child of God this very evening. Why not make those changes tonight? And you can do that while we stand and while we sing.